Praise God. God bless you this evening, Times Square Church. Wonderful, wonderful to see so many people here in the house of the Lord on a Tuesday night and to have had almost a full house last night of those of us who are gathering together to pray and to believe God for an awakening, a spiritual awakening in our city and in our nation. And we had a marvelous visitation of the Lord here last night. And for those who were here, you're aware of that. And for those who weren't, thank God that Jesus Christ is not limited to one day, one place, one time. He is everywhere. We're here to pray for the city, and the Lord put something special on my heart tonight to have you pray about. Now, we're going to be worshiping, and feel free as you worship to pray as well. I quite often do that on the platform. We'll be in the midst of a song, and it will spark something in my heart, and I'll begin to pray just for a moment. Sometimes I'll pray in tongues. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues. Go ahead and do that. And I'll begin to pray, and then I'll just go right back into the song again. And it makes the worship time that you experience so much more profound, that it's not just worship, but you're interceding. You're coming to the throne of God. You're worshiping Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and presenting your petitions before Him. Quite often I'll pray for you. I pray for the service. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come. I pray for prison doors to open, for people who are bound to be set free. And I do it all during the worship time. And it does make it very, very special. We had that happen last night. A song finished and suddenly everybody's praying. Everybody is calling out to the Lord. And folks, one thing we don't want to be at this hour we're living in is programmed to death. We want to be free to worship, free to pray. And wherever the Spirit of God is, it is wonderfully unpredictable what God does, but never out of order. Always encouraging, always lifting, always building. You come out of a prayer meeting where God's Holy Spirit has been leading and you're not exhausted. You're invigorated. I went home last night, couldn't sleep. I just got up and sat out on the veranda for a little while and just looked over at New York City and praised God with all my heart for His goodness, for His presence. You and I are quickened by the Holy Spirit. We are killed by the efforts of men as it is. We are exhausted when people push in the flesh, but we're lifted when God is leading us. I thank the Lord for that. Now, going into the waters of baptism tonight, I've had some of the testimony cards. I've been reading them, and I was reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." But then he says in verse 11, "But such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, we got some real characters going down into the water of baptism tonight. 60 of them that have come to the Lord in this church. Now, some of these folks are just like the people that are around you every day. And you look and it looks so impossible because many of the people are the things that Paul spoke about, are distant from the kingdom of God. But I thank God that the scripture finishes, "But such were some of you." And folks, we have to have the eyes to see. And as these folks go down into the waters of baptism tonight, can you pray and ask God for the eyes to see those neighbors across the hall from you and those people that you have to rub shoulders with every day or those members of your family? It looks so impossible. And maybe it is in the natural, but it's never impossible to God. And just begin to intercede and say, "God, that man looks like my Uncle Ralph, or that lady looks like the one who works or lives across the road from me. And that lifestyle that person is living in is so immoral, so ungodly, so distant from the things of God. But Lord, you have saved these people. And these people are no different than the ones that I rub shoulders with every day. So God, help me to look beyond what I see with my eyes and give me the eyes of faith. Give me the eyes to see." I've been praying today Lord, would you, these 60 people, would they be just, would you make it just a hundredth or a tenth of the numbers of people we're going to have to baptize weekly in the days ahead? I've been asking the Lord that we would get to the point where we have to just baptize people between 12 and 3 o'clock on Sunday, in between the service, for anybody who wants to stay and just watch 100, 200, 300, 400 people go through the waters of baptism. We're presently negotiating with some of the theaters on 50th to perhaps have them available to rent as the space needs begin to hit us, because that's already happening now in this church. Thank God. It's a wonderful problem to have when people are coming in wanting to find Christ as Savior. God Almighty, give us the eyes to see these baptisms as a type of what you want to do in New York City. Help us to see, Lord, people that we once thought were impossible cases for salvation coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, beginning to live for God and going into these waters of baptism. Lord God, help us. Give us eyes. Give us hearts of faith. Help us to name names tonight. As we see people go into the waters of baptism, we remind us of others that are around us every day. Don't let us take no for an answer. No shouldn't be an answer when we're praying to the God who died for all men and women that they might come to the knowledge of Christ. Father, we thank you for this and we praise you. Give us the ability to pray while we worship. Give us faith in our hearts, O God. Take away unbelief. God Almighty, lift us out of unbelief. Lift us out of that mentality that surrounds us, that we can only go so far and no further. Lord, this city might look big to us, but it's only a speck in the universe to you, Lord. And you can redeem this city. You can send your spirit to this city and turn it in a moment of time. God, we ask you to do what's impossible to man, and do it for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do it now. Do it tonight, God, as we pray. Do it, Lord, in a manner that we least expected you will. Come and give glory to your own name, O God. And Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. For we believe with God all things are possible. Hallelujah.
Folks, every single person you saw go down in those waters of baptism represent an answer to prayer. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. I know many of us are tired tonight, and it's understandably so. But the Lord is here among us, and he's wanting to do a great thing in answering prayer and meeting us, quickening us. I trust that those of you who've come into the house tonight and have sensed the presence of the Lord, you've already been quickened, and God is touching your heart. I know during this time of fasting, for me, it's been an incredible, refreshing time. I love to eat, folks. I've got to tell you right now, I love to eat. And so this type of denial, it's only the grace of God that helps me and keeps me. So I just thank God for it. But it's an amazing thing when you take that time to pray and fast, and how God just comes and he meets us and he quickens us and he strengthens us. He refreshes us during those times. And I found personally that when I take the time to fast, and it's not really a secret, but I almost consider it like a secret, you know, because when you do take the time to fast, it's all of a sudden God comes and he begins to touch you in your own life. He begins to speak to you. He begins to quicken you. He begins to show you what's in his heart. When you take that time to spend with him, he begins to share his heart and his burden, and he begins to quicken you and give you a faith like you never had before. It's almost like your faith tank just begins to fill up. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden you have faith to pray and pull down strongholds and to see God dispatching angels and pulling people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And so I've had folks on Thursday nights, when we're praying on Thursday nights, look at me and say, how do you come in so fired up on Thursday nights? It's simply because I'm doing exactly what you're doing tonight. I've taken the time to pray and fast and deny myself and let God have his way. Amen. And so we thank God for these agents that he's given us so that he can strengthen us in our faith. Tonight, we're going to be praying, taking time to pray for the prayer cards that were handed out on Sunday. We had some prayer cards that were handed out, invites, for us to be able to reach out to our communities, to those in our workplaces, those in our schools, and those that we see on a daily basis, and so that we could begin to pray for them. And so we've asked that if you had prayer cards that were filled out, to bring them tonight so that we could begin to pray for them. And tonight, how many of you have prayer cards? Would you hold those prayer cards up right now? How many of you do have prayer cards with you tonight? Hold them up real high. Hold them up real high so those around you can see them. Praise God. Some in the choir. I've got two here tonight as well. And so tonight we're going to, those of you who don't have prayer cards, I want you to notice those who do have prayer cards around you. And what we're going to do tonight is, in a moment, we're going to stand. And those that have prayer cards are going to hold them up. And those who don't have prayer cards, we want you to gather around those that do have them, that are close to you. And then we're going to take a moment for them, those who have the prayer cards, to share with you the name of the person and what they would like prayer for. And it'll be just a brief sharing. And then we're going to go to prayer on behalf of these cards that have come in. Like, I've got two people. There's a salad bar that I frequent. And yesterday I went there for juice, to get some juice, not salad, though I wanted a salad. I went in there and got juice, and they were actually surprised I didn't go to the salad bar. I made a detour to the juice, to where the juices are, and they were actually quite surprised. But I went in there, prior to going in, I prayed and I said, you know, Lord, I would just love to be able to pray for somebody. And the Lord put someone, the cashier, on my heart. And so I went in there as I normally would, because she's usually there. But when I walked in, she wasn't there. And I thought, oh God, maybe I missed you, you know. And so I went to the juice place to get some juice. And as soon as I turned around, there she was. And I knew God had ordained it. And so I had her fill out one of the cards. Her name is Mina. And she wanted prayer for her children. And forgot to touch her kids. And I know she needs to know the Lord as well. And then I have another man here who needs prayer. His name is Pat Brendel. He was helping some folks out. He fell off a scaffolding, broke his neck. He broke his face. Facial bones are all busted up. His nose, they have to do reconstructive surgery on his, and he broke both his wrists. And so he needs prayer tonight. And so these are folks that I'm going to be praying for. And so, but what we want you to do is, as briefly as I've shared this, these cards, I want those who have cards to share it briefly with those around you. And then we're going to lift these folks in prayer. And we're going to believe God to work a miracle in their life. Can we do that tonight? Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Those who have prayer cards, please raise your prayer, your hands up, so those around you can see. Those who have prayer cards. And folks, please begin to gather around those that have prayer cards tonight. If you don't have a prayer card, that's okay. Gather, look around you to see those who do have prayer cards, and briefly share the name and what we're going to be praying for, and then we're going to go to prayer.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering our prayer tonight, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord, that you're going to answer prayer. We believe you're going to answer it in this house and in other churches that begin to pray throughout the city. And you will astound us with how rapid and how powerful your answers are. God, we praise you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. I was told today that almost 10,000 of those prayer requests have gone out in the last few days. thank God for a church that cares. We're going to print a more generic version of that and give it out to the churches that we'll be involved with through Feed New York, and encourage pastors and churches to do the same in their congregations, to have people just simply approach people in New York City and ask them, "Would you? I'm going to a prayer meeting. Would you like to have me pray for you?" And you'd be amazed how open people are. It's astounding when you see and begin to understand that. Now, keep those that you have and keep praying and stay in touch with the people. And the next time you visit, as Pastor Patrick did, the salad bar, whatever it is, I would assume you'd be visiting it later tonight. You know, I'm not a whole lot better than that. You know, Pastor Teresa's dog has to have a heart pill, believe it or not, and I had to give it to him today in a piece of cheese. Cheddar. And the first time I ever found myself envious over a piece of cheese. Felt like a mouse in a trap for just a moment. But I won. By the grace of God, I won. Hallelujah. So keep those prayer cards. And when you visit the places, or if it's people at work or your neighborhood, and just take it out, remind, I'm still praying for you. And how's it going with your son? How's it going with your daughter? How's it going with your children? Has there been a change? And when the prayer is answered, then we're going to have a box, we'll tell you how to do that, or perhaps you can just give it for now to the people at the information table, where you can attach to it just another little card. You can put a paper clip on it of how God answered that and when it was answered, and we will share that from this pulpit. And on occasion, if you'll put your contact information, we may call you to come and give a testimony on Tuesday night of who you were praying for and how God answered that prayer. And what a faith builder it will be for all of us when we begin to realize that it is in the heart of God to answer prayer in New York City. Thank God, thank God, thank God for that. We are going to go to the communion table tonight. And communion is an open table here in this church. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the full pardon of your sins, and you know that you're walking in as much a light as he's given you to walk in, and you're not playing a game with God, then we encourage you to partake of that table with us. If you're not walking right with God, I want to challenge you. The scripture, this is one of the passages of scripture that really cautions us about not lightly touching this table, because it can bring a spiritual sleep upon us when we play games with these ordinances that God has set up in his kingdom. So be careful of that. Praise God. You know, we prayed the first night here for our president, and tonight he was a block away. I was standing in my office and I was saying he's one block short of where he should be tonight. But hallelujah. That's not a big distance, and we're going to pray that gap. We're going to pray that God shorten that gap and touch our leaders, touch our president, the Senate, the Congress, our local governors and leaders, touch them. That's the cry of the heart of the Christian church, and you and I have to believe that God is well able to do that. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Father, thank you for this table tonight and the wonderful reminder that our redemption, our cleanness, our salvation is given to us through Jesus Christ, and that you give us the Word of God to give us strength and direction and hope, and you bring about true and lasting change into every person's heart who decides to follow you sincerely. God, thank you for this incredible journey. What a marvelous life it is to live with the living God inside of you. Father, thank you for those who went into the waters of baptism this evening. God, keep these brothers and sisters and these little ones, oh God. Keep them, oh God, keep them. Keep them from the lies of the enemy. Keep them, God, from turning back or ever reaching a wrong conclusion that this journey is too difficult. Help them, oh God, to find you and to walk with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. If you could hold on to the bread and the juice till everybody receives it, then we'll partake of it together. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Thank you, Lord. God Almighty, thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just want to share with you for a moment or two what the Lord has opened my eyes to over the last few days. If you remember, there was a portion of scripture where the Lord is ministering to a young man who the Bible said is often thrown from the water to the fire. There was a spirit that was trying to destroy him. And the Lord begins to minister to him, but in the context, we find that his disciples, the ones who had been trying to reach out to the young person, had no power to heal him. What you find is a man who is in a very serious state, very extreme state, and the people that might have healed him could not heal him. And the Lord gives the reason when they ask, why couldn't we heal him? And he said, because they didn't believe. But he also says something else. He says, this kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. Now, I used to ask the Lord, basically, what are the implications of this statement? And he gave me some answers on certain levels, but only recently did I understand the thing that I want to share with you tonight. And that's basically that prayer and fasting involves, among other things, especially in the scriptures, the idea of mourning and of being of a broken heart. Now consider the extremes that this young man was going through. One time thrown into the fire, one time thrown into the water. It would be as we look in our society and we see people in general, young people in particular, who just seem to be going from extreme to extreme. In our city, you know that this is a very extreme city, and a lot of people are being crushed under the weight of it. When I was younger, at about the age of 23, I was, in essence, crushed under the weight of the extremes of this city and going from places of utter despondency and despair to false hope and back and forth again. And it was very rare that there was a person who could reach me. People came and they tried, and sometimes they gave me tracts, and sometimes they said nice things to me. But very few were able to reach me, except there were a very specific group of people that every now and again who would speak to me and would touch me. And these were people who I knew understood my burden. People who I knew grieved over me and were willing to care, and to care for real, to the extent that I could sense in them, even though I didn't understand it at the time, a spirit of prayer and fasting, a spirit of lamentation and mourning that bore witness to the reality that their heart broke over my situation, that they weren't trying to notch another Christian conversion into their belt. They were actually mourning with me. But you see, that takes faith. Faith in God's capacity to keep you and to use you, even when you allow yourself to grieve and to mourn over the lostness of the lost. See, they had to go from the ones that were actually able to be used of the Lord. They had to go from an extreme to an extreme. They had been, according to the Holy Scriptures, on the mountaintop. The Lord was showing them great revelations on the Mount of Transfiguration, showing them his glory, showing them his splendor, opening to them his word and his plan. They had been overshadowed by the glory cloud, and yet the Lord took them, as it were, by the hand, Peter, James, and John, brought them from that place of spiritual euphoria down into a valley to meet someone who was in need. As he brought them down into that valley, he began to explain what it meant to be a servant of the Lord. He talked about himself and about how he was going to go to the cross. And he talked about John the Baptist and about how he was treated and so on and so forth. And he's bringing them from this height to this depth. And as he's doing it, he's making them to understand the nature of this calling. Now they come from the height to the depth, and that's where they see the need. It would be the same as if you and I go from a kind of spiritual euphoria where we are experiencing God's presence and we're hearing his voice and we're knowing his name and we're rejoicing in his presence and we're, as it were, immersed in the glory cloud. And then God says, I need to bring you down. And sometimes that means into a place of mourning. Sometimes it means into a place of grieving. Sometimes it means a place of hurting. And sometimes you can't even explain why you feel a certain way. But remember what Jesus said when certain people asked him, why couldn't we cast them out? He said, because you don't believe me. See, in order for God to be able to bring us from extreme to extreme, in order to meet the needs of an extreme society, he's got to be able to take us by our hand and walk us down that mountain, telling us about his cross, telling us about the price that those people who make a highway in other people's hearts have to pay. He said they did whatever they wanted to John, and John's responsibility was to prepare a highway in men and women's hearts for the Lord. He has to be able to tell us that and then bring us to the kinds of depths where the need is. But he can't do that if we don't trust him. He said there are certain things that can be removed, certain spirits that are overwhelmed and overpowered, demonic spirits that are overwhelmed and overpowered only by people who pray and fast. That means, among other things, only by people who are willing to put off the splendor of the great revelations and the wonderful things, to put off those splendid robes just for a moment or two, and to put on sackcloth and ashes. I want to address someone in this room who's mourning. And you're lifting up your hands because you know that the Lord is worthy. And you're singing your songs at the top of your lungs because you know that God is good. And you're praying because you believe in God, but in your heart, there's grief and there's pain. And you know what it is to have been on the mountaintop. But right now, you feel like you're in a valley. You don't know why, you don't know how, but something in you knows that God still has your hand. I want to suggest to you that you are in a position, because the enemy would say to you, you're in no position to pray. He would say to you, you are in need. You're hungry. You're not in a position to pray. You're mourning. You're grieving. You're not in a position to pray. But Jesus would say to you that you are in a very unique position. A position of fasting and prayer. A position of sackcloth and ashes. A position of mourning and lamentation. But I guarantee you, only you can touch that young man who is being tossed from the fire to the water and back again. When I was living in the streets of this city, only you could have touched me. Because I was mourning and I was grieving, and if you couldn't identify, there was nothing you could say to me. Only you could have prayed for me. Only you could have identified with me. Only you could have pulled me out. See, you got to reach your hand into the fire to pull someone who's been thrown into the fire out. When the enemy came against Joshua the high priest, Jesus said, "Isn't this a brand plucked from the fire?" I want to give you a word of encouragement and then pray with you, please. The enemy's been lying to you, telling you you have nothing to offer to this prayer meeting. You have nothing to offer to this city because you're breaking your own heart. Your heart is grieving. You're in sackcloth and ashes. You're in a spirit of prayer and fasting. It didn't just start on Sunday. And you've been praying and fasting for a while. You've been grieving for a while. According to the Spirit of the Lord, and believe me, I fought for the last 48 hours harder than I've fought for a long time to say what I'm saying to you today. The devil's lying to you. You're in a position to change the world. You're in a position, unlike anybody who says, "I refuse to go into that place of prayer and fasting, into that place of mourning." Anybody who refuses to go there, it's going to be hard to make a difference. But if you let God take you where he wants to take you, believe me, he's going to be the glory and the lifter of your head. He's going to be your joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to be your peace in the middle of the storm. But he's going to bring you sometimes some places where you can change the world from a place of grieving. You might go home tonight, and I say this, and then we pray. And you might weep on your bed again. When you do, from that place, lift up a prayer. Lift up a prayer in that place for this city. Lift up a prayer in that place for your lost loved ones. Lift up a prayer in that place for your next door neighbor. Lift up a prayer. You're going to think at that stage this is the last place that I should be praying from, but that's where you want to pray from. From that place of prayer and fasting. And the only thing you have to do is believe. Believe that God can use your tears. Believe that he can use your grief. Believe that he can use your lamentation, because it softens the heart and it causes people to care and it causes people to break their heart before the Lord, and it causes us to remember the needs of the needy. It causes us to be a compassionate people. I want to pray with you, particularly those who are grieving, whose heart is broken. You lost a loved one, heard some bad news from the doctor. Finances not going so well, your marriage, your relationships suffering. Your heart is broken, and sometimes you don't even know why. And you cry sometimes and you don't know why. You're in a position to change the world. To reach out to that young man who's thrown from the fire to the water. Spirit of Jesus. Lay your hand upon my brother. Lay your hand upon my sister. We come against any shame that the enemy would try to instill to make our brother, our sister, ashamed of their tears, ashamed of their grief. We come against that in Jesus' name. And instead, Lord, we simply pray for faith. Faith that says, I can pray from wherever I happen to be. I can pray from the mountaintop and I can pray from the valley. I can pray in my laughter and I can pray in my tears. There is no circumstance in my life, emotionally speaking or otherwise, where as a Christian I can't reach God. Lord Jesus, the scripture says that you bottle our tears, that you know everyone. You cried along with Mary and Martha. You're not ashamed of their grief. You're not ashamed of ours. Spirit of Jesus, would you nestle the heads of my brother and my sister? Would you simply nestle their head on your bosom? And pray with them. And through them, would you heal? As you heal them, would you heal people through them? People that they can identify with, people who they can care for, people whose hearts they can identify and they can say, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. But there is hope. I know what you're going through, but there is life. I know what you're going through, but there is a Savior. I know what you're going through, but there is someone who's there for you. But I just think about when I was in the street and how certain people, I don't know how, I could just sense that they could touch God. And they were able to touch my heart. Spirit of Jesus, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. I thank you that they've chosen to believe you, to hold on to your hand and say, Jesus, lead me wherever you go. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because I know you haven't left me. I know you are with me. I have faith in you. I trust you. Even if my faith is as the grain of a mustard seed, I trust you. And I trust that you can use my journey to save somebody's life. We thank you for this, oh Jesus. We bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I want to finish this evening by bearing witness to these words that you just heard. As Pastor William was speaking, I felt the Lord leading me to the book of Nehemiah. Let me just read it to you in chapter 1. This is Nehemiah who rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem and was a great revivalist in his generation that brought about an awakening. One of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped and were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire. In other words, how are the people doing? And they said, the people are not doing well. There's been a great affliction come upon them and they stand in reproach among the nations. Their protection is gone and their hope, their plans, the gate is the place where the plans were made for the future, and and they were governed, in a sense, from the gates, and the gates were burned with fire. And here's what the word says. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. And I mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. When I heard this, when I heard that people, my friends, those that are created in the image of God and in my image also, are in affliction and reproach. The wall, the protection is gone. Their government seems to be in distress. A mourning came on me, and I wept and fasted and I prayed. And I said, Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let your ear now be open and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house had sinned. And Nehemiah said, I am just as guilty as anybody else. If there's a mess in the nation, then I'm partly to blame because I could have made a difference. And yet up to this point, he had been living in relative comfort in the king's palace. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept your commandments, nor your statutes, nor your judgments, which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, he said, I beseech thee, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast to the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather you from there. I will bring you back to the place that I've chosen to set my name there. And Nehemiah said, God, please remember that you told your servant, just like you told Solomon on that day when he dedicated the temple, if you transgress and because of it you're scattered, because of it you're heading into these extremes that we heard about tonight. But yet, God, you said, if you cry out to me, even from there, God said, I will gather you from these places and bring you back to the place that I've set my name. He said, now these are your servants and your people who you've redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. He said, O Lord, I beseech thee, now let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He's talking about the king, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah said, I'm not just going to sit here in mourning. I identify with the people and I realize that this tragedy has happened on my watch as well as on theirs. And I understand the pain and the sorrow, but I'm going to get up and God Almighty, I'm coming into your presence. And if you'll give me a plan, if you will show me the direction for my feet, I will walk in it. And God heard this man, Nehemiah, and he got up and gave him a plan and gave him favor with governing authorities and gave him materials to do what he was called to do, gave him resources to get it done, gave him authority to get to where he needed to go, gave him a word that the people believed when he got there, gave him power to stir up the people to begin to rebuild again. Glory to God through one man who went in a brokenness. It began with a brokenness. It began with a weeping, but it moves beyond that and moved to faith, as we heard tonight. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we weep. What a mess our nation is in. But by God's grace, you and I are going to rise up with faith in this last hour of time. And say, on my watch, this wall is going to be rebuilt. On my watch, the gates are going back on their hinges. On my watch, people are going to know who's in and who's out. On my watch, there's going to be an invitation to get right with God. On my watch and in my life, God Almighty, I'm coming before the King tonight, and I ask you, Lord, to give me the plan. And give me favor and give me resources and give me the giftings of the Holy Ghost. In our case, give me the words of knowledge that need to be spoken. Give me the compassion of Christ that can reach the deepest, darkest places in this generation. Give me the power and authority to stand against demonic powers that are crushing an entire generation. God caused me to stand up, and that's got to be our prayer tonight. That we walk out of this house and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not content to see this generation die in its sin. I'm not content to watch the enemies of righteousness come in and roll over a whole generation. When I have the authority and the invitation to come to the throne of God, And Lord, you will touch a sincere prayer. When I come to you with a broken heart for this generation, when I come to you not arrogantly, but in a spirit of humility, you will be touched by my prayer. You will give me a plan. You will give me the power to make a difference. I believe that with all of my heart. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. There are giftings of the Holy Ghost, folks, that you and I need to have. I was coming back from Starbucks one day across the street. I was walking, and there's a young man standing out in front of our church with a cup in his hand, and God, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I walked up to this young man. I said, "What are you doing here in the street?" And he looked at me, and the fellow was with me, got a little bit nervous. He thought this kid might slug me. He's a fairly tough-looking kid, about 20 years old. I said, "Listen, I'm talking to you. What are you?" I was right in his face. "What are you doing in the street?" I said, "You were raised in the church. You have a praying mother, and here you are begging on the street when just inside these walls you are the son of a king. You get to church. You'll be there tonight." And he said, "Yes, sir." God will give you authority if you care. If you and I are, as you heard tonight, we're not just passing by people looking for another spiritual notch on our belt to be able to tell somebody we witnessed about Christ, but you have the genuine care of Christ. People know it. The compassion of God is inside of you. They know it. They know the difference between somebody who's a program and somebody who has the passion of God within them. Praise be to God. And that's going to be our prayer tonight. We're not leaving here the way we came in. We're not going out with somebody else's plan. We're walking out with the plan of God. We're walking out with the power of God. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm going to ask you tonight to lift your voice to heaven right now. And we are going to believe God. You and I together. Lord, you've brought us through 3 days of prayer and fasting. We've gathered as a church congregation. Lord, we've come before you for a generation that don't know their left hand from their right hand. They're being driven into the fire. They're being driven into the flood. They're being driven into the water. Lord, they don't know how to pray. They don't know how to seek you. We're coming before you on behalf of a nation that seems to be lost in immorality. We've lost our direction. We've lost our governance, Lord. We've lost it, oh God. But Lord, we come tonight before you and we ask you, Father, as we have fasted and prayed, give us the plan of heaven. Give us the favor of heaven. Give us the resources of heaven. Give us the words of knowledge. Give us the power of the Holy Ghost. God Almighty, every one of us in this sanctuary, that you would raise us up and use our lives for a difference. Lord, we ask you tonight that we don't go back into our neighborhoods the way we came in, the way we left them tonight. We walk back with the power of God. We walk back with the vision of Christ. We walk back with the burden of God. We walk back with faith in our hearts. My God, we stand against unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you are a liar. We are the church of the living God. We have the Christ who created the universe living inside these earthen vessels. And so you better tremble. You better tremble, powers of darkness. God Almighty, release in us the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Give us the plan of God. Give us the boldness of God. Give us the strength of our Christ. God Almighty, take us into the boroughs of this city. And oh God, make a difference. Lord, you took 120 people from an upper room and you filled them with the Holy Ghost. And through them, you changed the whole known world. You did it once before and we believe you can do it again. We yield to your plan. We yield to your purpose for our lives. We don't bring a plan to you. We come to you to get your plan. We don't come to you with arrogance. We come in humility. We don't come with anything but a heart that says, God, take us and use us for your glory. God Almighty, send a revival to New York City. Break down every defense of darkness and send your Holy Spirit to this city. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory!
glory to God. Glory to God. And Lord, use me. Use every brother. Use every sister. Use every grandmother. Use those who were baptized tonight. Use all of us for your glory. We're not going to lie down and die in this generation. We're going to rise up and live by the power of our God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, this is the end of the third day. And we've heard this message over and over again. Lord, it's the end of the third day. And God Almighty, it was at the end of the third day that you rose from the dead. You rolled back the stone. Nobody can keep you down. Nobody, 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 nobody can keep you down. Nobody can say your church is finished. Nobody has the right. Nobody has that right. Nobody has the right to tell you that you can't go back into our schools, that you can't touch our young people, that you can't go into our colleges. Nobody, nobody, nobody has the right. Nobody. My God, my God, my God. Jesus, Son of God, send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit to New York City, to Queens, to Manhattan, to Staten Island, to Brooklyn, to the Bronx. God Almighty, send your Holy Spirit. Lord, come upon every church, every pastor, every name. We don't care whose name is on the door, as long as Jesus, you are inside. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to a place of faith again in our generation. Thank you, God, that you're not letting us die in unbelief. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. Give us New York City, or life is not worth living if you don't. Give us New York City, oh God. God, for your glory, for your namesake, Lord, give us New York City. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set the skeptics to flight, oh God Almighty. God Almighty, the scoffers and the liars, set them to flight, oh God. Send them to their knees. Make them acknowledge you as God. Hallelujah. I don't want to be the same tomorrow as I am today. I want to grow in grace. I want the power of God. I need you, Holy Spirit. We need you in this church. God Almighty, take us where we've never gone. Make us what we could never be. Let the glory of the Lord come upon us. Let the glory of the Lord ignite our hearts. Let the glory of the Lord take us out of prisons. Let the glory of the Lord give us a testimony. Let the glory of the Lord ignite our prayer meetings. Let the glory of the Lord, let the glory of the Lord, let the glory of the Lord. God Almighty, God Almighty, the glory of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, be in us, be with us, oh God, walk with us, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You've shown us all throughout scriptural history that one person can make a difference. You don't need an army. You need somebody who believes you. God Almighty. God Almighty. God Almighty. God Almighty. We yield this church into your hand. We yield this testimony into your hand. Lord, if you choose to open these doors and not close them for 2 years, do so. Do so, Lord. Do so. We yield our bodies. We yield everything we have and are to you, Lord. Don't let this city die on our watch. And Father, we thank you and we praise you in the mighty, holy, matchless, powerful, glorious name above every name, the name of Jesus. Glory. 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 Lift your hands, please. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, baptize everyone in this room in your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, God. We can't do this in our own. But, oh, God, with you living inside of us, all things are possible. Give us your plan. Give us your vision. Give us your will. Give us your heart. And send us into this harvest field. We ask it, believing God with everything in us. Hallelujah. Cry out to the Lord tonight. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. I'm going to pray a blessing for you in just a moment. But before I do, please pray. I want to pray for our president. He's on my heart deeply tonight. He's in a night spot somewhere here in New York City. I read his book a while back, and I was very moved by the search that he was on. And when he went into the first time into a Christian church and sat there, and he said tears flowed down his face, and he said, I knew I had found what I was looking for. I don't know the fullness of what kind of a gospel that was. But I do know that the word of the Lord was opened, and there has to be a measure of understanding of God. And I want to pray, it's just on my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, as we gather tonight to pray and stand at your throne, we lift up our president before you. And God, you know the search that this man has been on, and you understand his journey more than we do. Lord, he wanted to do right. And God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that even as he sits, Lord, tonight, and perhaps, I don't know what he's listening to, I don't know where he is, but I ask you, Lord, to touch his heart. I ask you to bring back scriptures that he knows, like John 3:16 and Romans 2:8-9. And suddenly the scriptures start to flood his mind. Holy Spirit, just in spite of all that's going on around, start speaking to his heart and draw him. God Almighty, God Almighty, I lift this man up to you, Lord, and I ask you for mercy. Mercy, God. Mercy on our leader, Lord. Mercy on the man that has been appointed to govern us for this season. Mercy for him, Lord. Whether or not he's reelected, it's not about that now. I ask for mercy for him, Lord, as a man, that you touch him and bless him and keep him safe, God. Keep his wife and daughter. Keep them safe, Lord, from any evil intent of any person, Lord. God Almighty, help him to get back to his roots, Lord, in you. And Father, I thank you for this with all my heart tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless the people, bless this congregation, bless those that are visiting, bless our coming in and our going out. Let your countenance shine upon us, oh God. Lord, may we know your favor and understand your thoughts and be able to lay hold of your power, and to walk in faith everywhere you send us to go. Bless our coming and going out. I pray, Lord, there was a difference in the Old Testament between the people of God and the people of Egypt. And I ask, Lord, for those who love you and walk with you, let you make provision, make jobs where there are no jobs. Lord, a way to pay the rent where there seems to be no way. Food supply, where people don't know where it's coming from. Strength, when strength is gone. Lord, cause a line to be drawn between those who know you and those who don't. And bless, oh God, your people. And let it be the envy, Lord, of the sinner in New York City. God Almighty, let it cause people to turn to you when they see the blessing of the Lord so powerfully upon the people of God. Oh, Jesus, heal those that are sick in body tonight, who've gotten a diagnosis and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't see any hope. Heal cancer tonight. Do a phenomenal miracle, God, in somebody's body tonight. We ask you to heal AIDS. Lord, where blood conditions have gotten a hold of people that cannot be healed, we ask you for miraculous healing tonight. We ask you for healing of minds and hearts and wounds, Lord, so deep that no, they can't get out without you, Lord. Let the blessing of freedom be ours, oh God. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you that we might be the redeemed and we might be able to say so and we might have a testimony, oh God, that's so deep, so powerful. We ask you, Lord, to put something in our mouths we can't contain. We can't keep it inside. We can't be quiet about it any longer. We must speak it for the magnitude of what God has done. Oh, Jesus, heal marriages that are broken. Lord, that seemingly there's no way out. God Almighty, there always is a way out. You said in the Word, I set before you an open door and no man can close it. God Almighty, close the door on us abandoning hope and open the door to faith. Father, I thank you. I pray for our sons and daughters, my own sons, oh God. Father, and my own daughter, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, bless our children powerfully, strongly, God. Make them mighty upon the earth, Lord. Let the power and anointing of God come upon our children, Lord. Bless our families, Lord. Bless our daughters and sons-in-law. Bless our grandchildren. Oh, God Almighty, let the blessing of heaven come upon our homes. Give strength to our families. And Lord, I'm not asking it for any other reason, Lord, that your name be glorified. That you have a song of praise and a testimony of your goodness on the earth, oh God. And Father, I thank you for this with all my heart. With all my heart. Bless us with a song on the way home tonight that cannot be contained. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Give God a shout of glory.